Theme is to investigate the things of our Lord Jesus Christ, those events that happened all those years ago. If we can have it on screen, thanks, John. And we're going to ask a number of questions like we would do if we were investigating something. I mean, what is Jesus doing here in the first place? What do we know about this guy? Can we create some kind of profile of what this man was like? And what's Jesus got to do with me? And ultimately, how does it work? So this is what we're going to investigate through our service this morning. And in a sense, we're asking the question, why do we make such a big deal of Easter? Why is it so special to us? Now, a couple of years ago on Easter, you may remember, I sort of presented to us a poem. And in this poem, it reminds us of why the Lord Jesus Christ is even here in the first place. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers it. It's about the Bible, what the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Bible story. Does anybody remember? The Bible is a book. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. The three of you that remember it, we're now going to re-remember it. No, I wasn't expecting you to remember it 2 years ago. I can't remember somebody's name from last week, let alone what I was doing. Sorry. But anyway, this will help us answer that question. What was the Lord Jesus Christ doing here at all? Now, there's going to be actions as we do this through. When we say the word book, we're going to put our hands together. So the Bible is a book. The Bible's a book that tells one big story. I think that's quite a good action for one, isn't it? The Bible is a book that tells one big story that is God's story. So see if you're welcome to join in if you want to. So we say it together. The Bible is a book. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. That is God's story. Now, you may remember the Bible starts. Where does it start? What part of the story does it start off with? Creation. Yeah. This is a big one, isn't it? Now, last time I didn't put the words on screen, but I've got the words on screen to help you this time. Now, does anybody remember that song, The Wise Man Built His House? Good. I didn't know whether I was the only one old enough for that. So when God says how God made, we're going to do sort of that wise man built, okay? How God made. And then you can kind of make it up here. You might want to go universe, planets and stars. You know, I love it how it says in Scripture, he flung stars into space, doesn't it? It's an amazing picture, isn't it? He flung stars. Seas and mountains, okay. Trees and flowers. You might want to do something like that, you know, how they grow out the ground. Beautiful flowers. Have you looked around the room? Aren't they stunning? That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for those who have done that for us today. We've got trees and flowers. We've got birds. We've got fish. We've got animals. I always go, rawr, because I like tigers. Don't send me tigers. You know, I told my mum once, she realised I like tigers. So every year until she passed away, so I was about 46, I got tigers. Anyway, I like tigers. Anyway, they are beautiful. And how God loves all that he made, and it was good. Okay, see if I can go. Let's go backwards. Okay, we'll start from the beginning and then go through creation. Okay, so the Bible is a book. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. That is God's story. How God made the universe. How God made the planets and stars. How God made the seas and the mountains. How God made the trees and flowers. How God made birds and fish. How God made animals and us, and how God loves all that he had made, and it was good. Fantastic. Now, the thing is, the Bible is a book that tells one big story, but it has a sad part. A sad part. And some of you will know this, slightly different actions to those who know it. The sad part is, we've told God to shove off. Okay, can you do a shove off? The sad part of it is you say to God, shove off, I'm in charge. Point to yourself with your thumb, you know, that kind of I'm in charge. The sad part is we've told God to shove off, I'm in charge, not listening to you. And because of that, our world became an unhappy place. You can take them out now, Josh. Top man. Okay. Watching. I've got a question for you later, actually. Okay, so the Bible is a book. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. The Bible is a book that tells one big story that's God's story. That has a sad part. And the sad part is how we tell God, shove off, God. The sad part is we say, shove off, God, I'm in charge. The sad part is we say, shove off, God, I'm in charge, not listening to you. And the sad part is our world became an unhappy place. But you know what? The Bible is a book. It's got one big story that's God's story, but it's got a happy part. The happy part is God makes the world fantastic again. It makes it fantastic again through Jesus. And for Jesus, we'll do the sign for Jesus. So, last part. So, the Bible is a book. The Bible is a book that tells one big story. The Bible is a book that tells one big story that's God's story that has a happy part. And the happy part is that God makes us fantastic again. The happy part is God makes us fantastic again through Jesus. So what was Jesus doing here? He was solving the problem. The problem that we say together, shove off, God, I'm in charge, not listening to you. Which, of course, we shorten that down to S-I-N. Shove off, I'm in charge, not listening. That had an effect on our world, made it an unhappy place. But God loves the world so much that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the effect of our sin on us and our sin in the world. So that's the first question we've been looking at, is what was Jesus doing here? He came to solve the problem of sin. But what do we know about this guy? Okay, in a sense, we're going to write that profile. You know how they often, in investigation, they make a little sketch of someone or give you a character profile. What is this guy like? Well, our next song is going to remind us what this guy is like. And the problem of shove off God together. Shove off God. I'm in charge, not listening to you. And we know something about him. But that song ended with everybody can meet him. So the question we're going to look at next is, what does Jesus have to do with me? And we're going to answer that question by doing the memory verse, or memorizing a verse that is behind me. I'm going to move out of the way. You know how this works. Some of us are going to have to be taller than others, but you walk it out. So we're going to say this all together, and then our young people, one at a time, are welcome to come up and pull one, carefully take one down. And we'll see if we can learn it together, okay? So our question now is, what's Jesus got to do with me? We know everybody can meet him, but what has he got to do with me? Let's say it together, either behind me if you can see it, or on screen if you can read it. Together, the payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. I'm going to take it off screen. Yes, Lily, thank you. So last time together.
Payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23.
Whether you can see in that what it's got to do, what Jesus has to do with us. And the amazing thing is, although we've been saying the word us, we can put the word me in there, can't we? Let's just say it together with me. The payment for sin is death, but God gives me the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. But we can say it even more personal. I'd love us to say this again and now say your name out loud. Just the first and not the whole lot of it, those you've got five parts to your name. First name, surname. I just wanted to clarify that. So together, the payment for sin is death, but God gives Mark Rapley the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. So we've been thinking about, what was Jesus doing here? He was solving the problem. And what were we saying together? Shove off, God. I'm in charge, not listening to you. So even though God made this world and it's a fantastic place, because of our sin, it became an unhappy place. And the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to solve that problem of sin in our life sin in the world. What do we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the key thing is that everybody can meet him. And what does Jesus got to do with me is because he offers me the free gift of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the question we're going to look at now, our last question is, well, how does that work? Now, I've got some props here. Now, Josh is used to these props, aren't you, Josh? Now, can you remind everybody, what does the bowl of water represent? You told me on Monday night at Connect what it was, because I always do the same one, apparently. So this, I know. He's given us all the answers now, isn't he? So we'll sing our next song. Thanks, Josh. So this is a bowl. It is a bowl. It's made of glass. In it is water, and it is water. But what this, for this illustration, is representing, as Josh said, this represents God. So in the same way that, sorry, not everybody can see it. If I brought it out forward, you know it's going to end up in someone's lap, so I won't. But it represents the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We've then got, where have I done with those two cups? These two cups, and since the cups I've got on the table are going to represent our life, okay? They are our life. So this representing God, it reminds us that God is pure, God is holy, God is the author of life. And these cups are going to remind us that God created us, created humanity. When God made the universe, when he made us, it was a fantastic place. He made us pure. He made us as holy as he is. Now, can anybody remember the names of the first two humans the Bible mentions? First two. Go on, Xanthi. Smart. Now, I'm going to need two people to be Adam and Eve. Anybody would like to be Adam and Eve? Come on, Abigail. Take one. I need preferably an Adam, just to make it easier. I think Josh is dying to be up the front here, aren't you, Josh? No! I'm getting my own back for Monday night. No, he was amazing, sorry. Nathan, do you want to be? Andrew, thank you. Thank you.
Hope you don't mind me.
Okay, right. So the Lord gave Adam and Eve life. I'm going to try and not make too much mess. Preferably don't drop it, because these are glasses, you realise? Now, because God is pure, God is holy, the life that he gave Adam and Eve was also pure and holy. And if you notice, Abigail, can you just put your glass into that bowl? Because we're as pure and holy as God is purely and holy, we can be with him. We can have fellowship with God. We were friends with God. We could, you know, to Adam and Eve were walking in the garden, enjoying the garden. God was there with them. They could walk with God because they were like God. But then the Bible tells us, as we reminded ourselves in our poems, something went wrong. So we look at our world, how it was described back there in Genesis, and it was fantastic. It was perfect. It was pure. Everything was brilliant. And we compare that explanation, that description to our experience of our world today, I think we'll all agree something's gone wrong. Something went wrong. We now experience pain, suffering, disappointment, betrayal. There is war. There is famine. There is disaster. And we compare the description of our world at the beginning of the Bible to what we experience today, there's a problem. Of course, that problem is because what have we said? Shove off God. I'm in charge, not listening to you. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. So if you'd like to somehow take that out. Okay. And because we said, hold the glass. Because we said, shove off God. I'm in charge. Not listening to you. We're no longer pure and holy. Now, if you'd like to put that in the water now, Abigail. There's a problem, isn't there? We're no longer like God. And therefore, we cannot be in the presence of God. And that's why our world became an unhappy place. Let me just give that a stir. The thing is, it didn't stop there, did it? Actually, how many generations do you think Adam and Eve were back? They were our great, 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 great. I've run out of fingers. Can I borrow your fingers? Everybody put a finger in the air. Even that's not enough. Anyway, what we're going to do now is that it continues, doesn't it? So, Abigail, can you take these cups and give one bunch to Nick and then June and then Barbara and Rosemary? Okay.
Let's see if I do that one.
Now, this is where this could get very wrong. What we're going to do is just a picture for ourselves that this passes down the generation. So Adam and Eve, what I'm going to get you to do is fill up the person's cup on the end. Okay? And then you, the next person who's got a full glass, needs to pass. Don't pull the whole lot. I want you to leave something in everybody's glass. Does that kind of make sense? So they're going to fill up the glass here, and you're going to pour it in each other's cups all the way down until you've all got something. So Adam and Eve, God created them perfect, but they said, shove off God, I'm in charge, not listening to you. And we have inherited that same impurity. All hold your cups up, you know, we're all the same. And because we are not like God, we cannot be with God. Now, seeing that God was in the business of creating a kingdom of people for himself, how many people are going to be in eternity with him then? That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? None of us can be there as we are. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to fix that problem. Now, the Lord Jesus... I forgot that. Is anybody... There you go. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came, but he didn't inherit our sinful nature. Now, can anybody tell me why that's the case? So we've all inherited it from Adam and Eve. Everybody has some liquid in their cup that came from Adam and Eve. Why was Jesus different? Because he's God. Yep, there's another reason as well. He's without sin.
He is God.
He is God, without sin. What was specifically special about his birth?
Conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yes, his mum was a virgin, and he didn't have a biological father in that respect, and he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. That is a very important... Christian, there are even Christians today who don't believe in that. If you don't believe in that, what you're saying is that Jesus somehow didn't inherit Adam and Eve's sin. The very reason that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, is so that he didn't inherit our sinful nature. There's a very good reason why that happened. And because that happened, he himself still has perfect union with God. Of course, he is God himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ does an amazing thing. He says to each one of us, would you like me to fix your problem? Do you believe I can fix your problem? Will you let me fix your problem? And then will you let me be the king of your life? In a sense, it's a CBA or an ABC. You can do this either way. We confess our sin, believe that Jesus saves, and accept him as our king. Do you know what? And when we say sorry to him, Adam and Eve, we're going to start with you. In a sense, say the word sorry.
Sorry.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will take your life and I will give you my life.
I'm sorry. Sorry, God.
And let me give you my life. And what do we notice now? Because we are of him, we can now be with the Lord Jesus and God forever. We can be assured of eternal life because he takes our sin. Adam and Eve, you're welcome to sit down. And this is the bit that could create mild chaos. Anybody who would like to, I'm not saying you all have to, anybody you'd like to, we're just going to enact that, those who can. So if you're welcome to come up to the front, I want you to say sorry, pouring your green away into here, and then I'll give you the clear one. Anybody you'd like to, please come forward and say, you don't have to. It's those who can and is able. Okay. Because if we are now like the Lord, it's now his life for our life. We can now, of course, be with our God in all time. But it is a free gift. Do you remember our verse? What did it say? What does that say, our verse together? The payment for sin is death. But God gives us the free gift of life forever in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll do it in the NIV next time. But it is free. It's a free gift to us because the Lord Jesus Christ himself paid for it. I don't know how, you know, I cannot imagine how it is possible. Only God can make it possible. Let's imagine there is 100 billion people who've come to know the Lord over the existence of this earth. On that moment the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, somehow he was taking upon himself every single imperfection and sin that all those humans had done and confessed in that moment. In a way, it speaks about how it all went dark. If you think the Lord Jesus Christ in his power and his might is the one that sustains the whole universe, you can imagine the reason the whole universe goes dark at that moment is the power that it's taken for him to take all that sin upon himself means the universe goes dark. But then he cried out, "It is finished." How the wrath of God, in a sense, the Lord Jesus Christ was living 100 billion eternities in the wrath of God for every human who confesses their sin. Only God made that possible. And he died. Because the payment for sin is... But because he died, the payment has been paid, and therefore we get the free gift of life forever. And if you're ever wondering, how do we know that actually happened? So in a sense, Good Friday's the day when all that was going to happen happened. That was the business day. But we celebrate Easter Sunday because he rose again. Now, there's a guy called Propaganda, great name, isn't it? And he writes poetry, and he said this. I've lost it. The Lord wrote a check with his life, and at the resurrection, we all cheered because we knew that check had cleared. Isn't that amazing? That's why Easter Sunday is such a celebration for Christians. We know there is life after death because the Lord Jesus Christ came back. We know the price has been paid, the death payment has been paid, because he rose again. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we know our sin has been paid for. But it's a free gift. But you almost broke my last point, that we still have to have an action, don't we? It's a free gift, but we still have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to confess our sin, to believe that he will save us and has paid the price, and accept his kingship with us. It is free, but we still have to accept that gift. We're not born Christian. We don't suddenly become Christian because we go to church, read our Bible, do good things. We have to confess our sin before him, believe that Jesus saves us, and will accept him as our king. And we will know freedom, the free gift of eternal life. Let's say our verse together once more. The payment for sin is death, but the free... Oh. God gives us the free gift of life forever in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Note to self, don't do that again. So Easter is an amazing celebration, okay? It's when we remember... I had that on, so don't worry. It's got stuck, John. Was there one more?
No.
Sorry. We've looked at what was Jesus doing here to deal with the price of our problem with sin. Everybody can meet this guy. What's it got to do with me? It's because he is the one who pays my price for sin and gives me the free gift of life with him forever. So let's confess our sin, believe that he is the one who saves, and accept his kingship in our life. Hopefully that's given us something to think about. And of course, the most famous verse in the world and the Bible reminds us of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.